Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
It's the story of a boy who grew up in an underprivileged and marginalized village in the Eastern Cape of South Africa. People living well below the poverty line, not exposed to supposedly the finer things. Inga was raised by his grandmother and grew up making wire cars and little clay cows as well as houses. Used all of that experience, all of that, to then hide his talent behind leather bags and the fashion industry. The creative director, Inga Kubeka, joins us now as we get into our Friday File feature. Inga, thank you so much for the time, brother. Really, really appreciate it. I'm really excited for this interview. We've spoken before, but just continuing to talk about your journey is so great and really, really awesome. Inga Atelier, where did that start from and what is it all about?
Thank you so much, Aravile. I'm so glad to be here once again, be interviewed by you. I really appreciate it. I'm truly humbled. Inga Atelier is my name. Atelier is a studio in French. A lot of people think that my surname is Atelier and always laugh at them because my surname is Kubeka, except that Atelier is a studio in French. So I thought I should use my name and studio, so meaning that Inga Studio. So that's where it all began with Inga Atelier.
In getting to this journey, though, you know, the thought process behind what it is you could create, what made you think one leather bags and that element and making it, shall we say, the finer things or a luxury brand as well? What brought that about and why this part of the fashion industry per se?
Yes. So basically, I was inspired by the people, you know, like in South Africa, for example. In fact, in the African continent, we are the biggest consumers of the luxury brands and products, yet we don't have our own. In fact, we've got little of our own. So I thought to myself, if Africans can buy your Gucci's, your Louis Vuitton, and all the other expensive luxury brands, why not create our very own here in South Africa, made in South Africa by South Africans, but with a global feel to it, you know, with something similar to what they have abroad in terms of quality and excellent workmanship. That's what inspired me to start Inga Atelier. It was mainly to compete, you know, against all the big luxury brands because we are the market of the luxury brands, but why don't we have our own luxury products in South Africa, in fact, in Africa? So that brought about the idea of starting one to compete on a global scale with the rest of the products out there.
Yeah, Inga, are you finding that people are becoming a little bit more accepting, susceptible to actually taking on our very own designers? I mean, we have quite a few now that have really made headlines, not just on the local front, but globally, including yourself. Are you finding that South Africans are really now backing our very own a whole lot more than we used to?
Yes, absolutely. And I'd like to thank, you know, like the buy and support local movement. You know, it's doing wonders for us as local designers. And people, yes, they're starting to warm up, to open up, you know, about supporting local brands and supporting local designers. But we still have a long way to go. We still have to educate the consumers, you know, especially when it comes to the price point, you know, because the question becomes, why is this so expensive? And the answer to that is that it's a handcrafted product. It's a luxury product, you know. It's a bespoke. It's a handmade product, and therefore there's a lot of thought process and a lot of workmanship behind it. Hence the price, and there's expensive materials that are being used. For instance, leather is not cheap on its own. You know, now you can imagine making products out of leather. So that's why, like, sometimes we need to educate our consumers, especially about the price points, because that is now the outcry, you know, from the consumers that, no, but the price points are ridiculous. And I don't think we are. We're still very much below what the luxury leather goods charge. But again, they've got heritage behind them. They've been in existence for years and years. So we can't exactly charge exactly like them per se at this moment. But as the brand grows, we will be able to charge a little bit higher as well.
Mm. It's also very critical then to get the support of fashion houses and stores. Perhaps if you don't have your own store, things like pop-up stores, like being able to sell online. How critical has that sort of been in the journey too? Because yes, the price point is important because people need to understand why it exactly costs this much. But once you get to a point where you're able to access your market, you know, just between you and the market and the buyer themselves, you're able to perhaps express things a whole lot better. Have you been able to do that, particularly having seen the pandemic as well over the last year?
I think the last year has been very incredible. The last two years, I'd say. I mean, we had our pop-up in Hyde Park, which went very well. We did that just to test the market, you know, like, hence we opened it at more like Hyde Park, you know, just to test the market in terms of, you know, like the feel and how it, what it's like, you know, to be trading in a mall like that with a very high income earners. And then we quickly moved away from that due to the lockdown that hit last year, and we wanted to focus online. We've seen increase of sales online than we've ever seen before. And I don't want to say that's the lockdown, but I think it contributed to the whole buying online and shopping online culture, because there's been like a big switch in terms of online and online buyers and online shoppers. I mean, we've experienced that. In fact, we decided not to go back into retail anytime soon because online seems to be working very well for us, you know, like better than we've ever seen it. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, that really is an exciting journey out on that front. I mean, the need to continue to elevate the business, to get it better, to get it bigger, to perhaps not necessarily change course, but, you know, bring in new aspects and continue to innovate. How are you dealing with that, and how are you continuing to get that through into your business so that you don't stay behind at any point?
Yes, it's very simple. I mean, for instance, right now, it's very important to innovate, you know, and also like to stay on trend. So basically, my thought process and my design process is very simple. So I know what the forecast is going to be for the next 6 months in terms of the bags that are being trend. So you'll notice that there's a trend, like, for instance, all the big luxury brands, your Chanel, your Louis Vuitton, your Bottega, and everybody, they have, like, a very similar bag, you know, like, that almost everybody has, which is what we also do as well. So we've got a bag that is very similar to all the other bags that other brands are doing, luxury brands that are doing. But we also have, like, the range of now, our core range, that is designed and well thought, you know, like by myself, and product developed and all of that we develop. So that is my design process basically around Inga Atelier and staying on top and staying on trend as well.
Brother, where to from here?
From here, we're going international. I'm proud to announce that we are now operating from Dubai, which is amazing.
We've got
a warehouse. We've got a warehouse in Florida, and we ship all the stuff, you know, across the world from Florida, which is fantastic. And we now do our operations in Dubai. I've got my team sitting in Dubai, and I'm here in South Africa because I need to overlook the production and product development and so forth. So yeah, we're going global.
Inga, this is absolutely huge. I just love to hear it, brother. Look, you being in the international sphere is so, so great. It's so wonderful to hear. Inga Kubeka, thank you so much for the time, but really great story to hear. The brands just keep on growing locally. We're trusting our finders, our creative directors, those that come up with luxury items that we're perhaps looking at and saying, we don't necessarily only need the international brands anymore. We can do it ourselves. We can find our very own, and that we can continue to build, be proud of, and then be able to export. I mean, just think of all the people we've been able to export to the globe and how important they have been to the rest of the world. Now we can even produce items, services, whatever it may be. We're still capable of competing even on the global stage.